You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Well, good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no announcements or anything, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in John 3, 3 through 6. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Father God, we just want to thank you again for this, the reading of your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the glory of this season as now it comes upon us. Thanksgiving has been placed aside, and the thankfulness of our heart as we enter your presence has been impressed upon us. Thankful, Father, so far back to the days of the Pilgrim. Thankful so far back to the days of the origination of our country and our government. And Lord, as Clark prayed this morning, so thankful that Paul was directed west and not east so that we might enjoy this liberty that comes from knowing you. We are thankful for. But all of it, Lord, has been made available. All of it has been made operable because of the gift that you gave, the gift of your Son, the greatest love that's ever been demonstrated. So, Father, only through His shed blood has eternal life been given to us. We thank you for His humbleness. We thank you for His obedience. We thank you for His willingness. And, Lord, those that have received this gift of eternal life, may they in turn give it back to you to be a living sacrifice. And may today's lesson, Father, bring these ideas to our mind that it is only in the Spirit that we can do that. And Father, we pray that you're honored by this and that your Son is glorified. And we pray that every heart need be met this morning. We pray this, Father, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We have been studying the two natures in the child of God. Can you imagine how difficult it must be for an unregenerated man to ever be in the presence of God? George Whitefield, you might know him, he's an 18th century evangelist. And during the 1700s, he said, if the unregenerated man could enter heaven, he would be so unhappy in heaven that he would ask God to let him run down to hell for shelter. He would. Why? Even the unregenerated, don't you think they would be happy in heaven to be enjoying the blessing of being with the Creator Almighty? And think of all the bountiful blessings He has to give, and there you are in the presence of Him before His throne, as great and glorious as it is described to us throughout the Scriptures, and there the unregenerated man can sit with angels, with principalities, with powers, with the Son of God, in the light, in the glory that comes from Him. And there the unregenerated person has all of the saved saints throughout all the ages with him before the throne of God. And can you imagine how wonderful that moment should be? But yet Whitefield is right. That man's, he's in a place he doesn't belong. He's in a place that he hates. He's in a place that he has enmity with. He denies even the very existence of God by his actions and his behavior and every decision of his life. Why in the world would he find comfort and joy and happiness in that place that he is an enemy with? The very depravity of his life, the unholiness of his unregenerated heart would scream, let me out. Let me out. Because his very sin is totally exposed before him. Heaven is no place for them. They hate it. As much as a cockroach hates the light. And the condemnation is that light has been given to men. But they love darkness. Why? because their deeds are evil. And that's the character of the old nature. That's the character that we've been studying all these months. Maybe it's been months. I know it's been weeks. The flesh has no joy in the presence of God. Why? Because the flesh cannot please God. The things of the flesh only please the flesh. There's nothing good from a spiritual perspective that man can find in the flesh. And not just in the flesh, but as we studied also in the natural man, the Adamic man, the man born of Adam, whose life is nothing but sin. There's nothing in the natural man. And this is the conflict we have, because there is that we still fight against, even though we have been born again. The natural man receives not the things of God. The natural man finds the things of God foolishness. And so the preaching of the cross and the wisdom of God is utterly disdained by the natural man. It's for wimps. It's for sissies. It's for babes. It's for children. And that's why he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Because he takes the man that is natural in his own wisdom, which is not wisdom, and confounds him. He fools the wise. He fools the scribes. And it's not just the natural man. It's the old man. Remember we studied the old man? Two things about the old man you need to remember. One is that he is corrupt. He is corrupt. And not only is he corrupt, he's corrupt according to his deceitful lust. This is you. This is me. This is who we were. It's not who we are, but it's who we were. We'll never be rid of it until God puts it in the grave. Deceitful lust. Not only lust of the flesh, Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 2, but because of the prince of the power of this air, we're disobedient because of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. In everything that we do, the outward man, and that's the next one, the outward man continues to perish. That's the one thing we learned about that. Day by day by day, the outward man is perishing. We deny it. We ignore it. Why is that? Because of the next characteristic of the old nature, and that's the heart. You know, what is the most deceitful thing in the world? The heart. It's desperately wicked and deceitful above what? All else. The heart. Don't try to change the heart. Don't try to reform the heart. The necessity in man is that he be given a new heart. We're going to see some of these things as we look at this passage again, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The heart above all things is deceitful. You can't know your heart. Who was it that said, "Know thyself"? Shakespeare. You can't know yourself. The last person to know what everybody else already knows is you. What a revelation that is. You got sin in your life? No, I haven't got sin. Everybody else knows what your sin is, except you. Until you come to face it before God. He knows your heart. He's the only one that can know the heart. I mean, that's what His Word tells me. I try sometimes, slap me silly. It's the waste of effort. God knows the heart. He's the only one that can know it. And He tells us that it is desperately wicked. Do you believe that? The universalist, you know who they are? Every man and woman has the light of God in them somewhere. We just need to find that spark and fan it and bring it out, and everyone's going to be saved. Not true. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." He didn't say everybody was going to have it. He said, this is a condemnation. You there in John chapter 3? Look over at verse 19. This is a condemnation. Here it is. Man has no excuse. This is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Every single man and woman, boy and girl, comes under the condemnation that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And so that brings us to our last characteristic of the old nature, sin. It's not, it is as much a part of us as being human is. And we're human because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You can't change it. You can't make it anything different. As educated as you try to make it, as refined as you try to make it, you can't make the flesh anything more than the flesh. As hard as you mothers try for your children who may not know the Lord, as hard as you dads try for children who do not know the Lord, you can't make them know the Lord. The best thing that we can do is what? Pray for them. And then be a good witness. Because that is a decision that is made by them when they come to that realization that what is made in the flesh is flesh. Look with me at verse 3 in John chapter 3. Jesus answered Nicodemus. Here's one of the wisest men in Israel and doesn't understand these concepts. And Jesus answers him. Verily, verily. You know what that word is? That's amen. Amen, amen. In Greek, that's the word. Amen. He emphasizes that this is the truth. This is the amen, amen. This is the Word of God. And then look what he says after that. He says, I say unto you. Can there be any doubt in this man? Can there be any question about what he's done? I mean, he had opportunity. First of all, let's look at how he's so unique. Not born of man, born of woman, but born of God. He's different than you and I. His body's different than you and I. His body didn't suffer the sin of Adam. He wasn't born of Adam. Think about that. His father's not man. I don't know. He might have lived forever because he didn't have the corruption that's in the flesh that we have. Huh? When we're born, we begin to immediately die. It doesn't look like that process is going on, does it, when you're 15 or 20 and, you know, some people at 40. That process doesn't look like it's going on. A guy was saying the other day, everybody says, life begins at 40. I keep hearing it, life begins at 40. He said, I wonder, begins what? I'm still waiting. I can tell him. Begins to go downhill. No, it's true. You wait. When you're 40, your eyes begin to start failing. Your hair starts falling out. Your hearing begins to go. All of these things begin, and by the time you're 50, you get honest. You go, whoa. Now I know what began at 40. The outward man perishes. Not only was he unique in his creation, the Son of God, and he had that, but he was created for a purpose that only he could achieve. Because he knew no sin. Opportunity abounded by him the first day when he was acknowledged as the Son of God. He went out into the wilderness. Spent 40 days. The devil came to him. When he spoke, did he speak his own words? He said, no, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the first thing he said. The devil said, oh, okay, you quote Scripture, I can quote Scripture too. And he takes him up to the high cliff, up to the pinnacle. in Jerusalem. He says, look at all these. Cast yourself down. You've heard this? You know this story? Satan misquotes Scripture, but our Lord quotes Scripture accurately. Don't tempt the Lord your God. You know, I wonder, we talked about trusting in Sunday school this morning. Another good lesson out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart. Keep it. Guard it with all diligence, for out of the heart come forth the issues of life. A good lesson. And we kept talking about, well, we can't do it. We just have to trust God and let Him do it, because we can't do it. We can't do it in ourselves. But God is the instrumentality. He gives it. It is God who works in us both to what? To will and to do of His good pleasure. But it's us who has to work it out with fear and trembling. We have been, we who know Him, created anew. We are His creation. Created in who? Christ Jesus. Unto what? Good works. What a workmanship He's willing to do in us. What is that trust? And I sit there and thought, Chris, you may identify with this from some of the conversation we had this morning, but I sat there and I thought, trust isn't walking out in front of a car and saying, you know, God's going to take care of it. Yeah, He will. But, see, He is the instrumentality, but we are the agency. Man devises the plan, but God directs the steps. Because man's plans are not God's plans. And it's only when I am in accord with His will that my prayers will be answered. And some I wish more instantaneously than others. They don't always happen as quickly as I want. Sin's a terrible thing. He knew no sin. What a perfect sacrifice. What a perfect offering. What a wonderful gift made available to us, eternal life. And now eternal life is only given to us by the Spirit. But Jesus said unto Nicodemus, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You just can't do it. It's not there. It's not possible. In verse 5, he says, can't enter. Same verse. He just changes it a little bit. Instead of saying being born again, he says born of water and of Spirit. Because Nicodemus got it kind of mixed up. He says, am I supposed to go back to my mother's womb? Nicodemus didn't understand that. Yes, Nicodemus, it is born of water, but it is also born of Spirit, because water is a fleshly birth. Notice the first word, except. Do you know what that means? I always think it's funny when people, you have a rule and people come up with the exception. To me, the exception proves the rule. Think about that. The exception proves the rule. Now, what it proves is how important the rule is, the necessity of it. The word except means there's nothing else. There's no other way. It's like the word unless. Can you be, if you're the less, can there be anything that's below the less? Nothing is below what's less. Oh, okay, you get funny with me and we'll talk about the leastest. But that's what I'm talking about, okay? It's just like when you're trying to talk to somebody about God. And you know, people, when they have a problem talking to you about God, you know why they do? It's not an intellectual problem. Well, I just don't know if I can understand that. It's not that. You know what it is? It's a problem where? It's a problem in the heart. It's a heart problem. It's always a heart problem. I've heard Leland talk about that. I heard Mac talk about it. Don't be fooled when you get into an argument with somebody. Be wise, because it's not a problem with intellectualism. It's not a problem with understanding the book. It's not a problem with trying to accept Adam or Noah, you know, in the flood. It's not a problem trying to understand God coming down in the form of man. You can't understand. They'll never understand. You can't understand these things. God reveals them to you. Revelation is what teaches you, and it only comes from the Word of God. It's never a problem with intellect. It's always a problem with the heart, and the problem with the heart is what? Sin. Just go right to the point. Just ask them when you're having that conversation, you know, what your problem is? Your problem is there's some sin in your life that's keeping you from God. That's it. That's true of us when we walk in the Spirit and are fighting the flesh. And we have that conflict that we can't understand. It's like this big fog kind of takes off. You know? I don't know. You ever hear them talk about a fog? You take a cup of water and you just, you know, break it into a billion little particles and that's a fog. You know, if you could bring a whole fog that covers a city, 1,000 feet deep, in a whole, you know, 20 square mile area, you could put all of that fog in a cup of a cup. It'd be a cup of water, right? And that's the way we walk sometimes when we are in sin. We walk in a fog. That could be gossip. Could be envy, could be evil murders or fornication or adultery. Could be idolatry. It could be some wickedness that we don't really want to know about. We don't want to talk about. We don't want. Now, I said before, everybody knows. You're the last one to know. Isn't that embarrassing? The shame of it. The shame of it. They've got this chemical that they can shoot up in the air at the airports, and there's a fog, and it causes all of those little particles to kind of come together, and they fall out, and they fall to the ground in rain, and it clears the airport so the planes can land. In the spiritual life, that's called confession. If I confess my sins, God is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. He wants you to walk in the light. We can't do it in the flesh. We have to do it in the Spirit. The only way is to be born again, to be regenerated from above. And he says not only accept a man, and that's any man, any woman. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what state you live in or what country you live in or what culture you come from or what society background you have. It's any man or any woman. Accept any man or any woman. Be born again. It's something God does. Look at verse 6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We've focused on that in the first part. You can't get away from that. You have to fight it. You have to resist it. You have to deny it. You're supposed to crucify it. You're to reckon it dead. You can't do that in and of yourself. Only can God do that when that which is spirit is made spirit. That's an interesting phrase right there, because notice in your Bible that one spirit's capital and the other spirit is a little s, lowercase. Isn't that interesting? Because it would be like, you know, if I were to say that which is born of a human is human, you wouldn't think about putting a capital H on the first human and a little h on the second human, would you? No, you wouldn't. You just, you know, that which is born of a human is human. That which is born of a bird is a bird. You wouldn't think of putting a big B on the first bird and a little b on the second bird, and there's the birds and the bees. Someone got it. Thank you. What? That is the Spirit of God, the first Spirit. See, we are begotten by Him, not by anything we can do. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. He says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. I'll never forget, it'll always be a testimony in my life to the faithfulness of my father. Mac and I were having lunch one time, and he said, you know, Derek, those days when we'd come to a church on Wednesday night, and Ben say, let's pray for Derek. I got tired of praying for you. I said, you did? He said, yeah, but Ben wouldn't quit praying for you. I said, you were a lost cause. Might as well forget about that boy. I'm thankful that you all don't know those years, those days of my life. But I think Max saying what he said sums it up. But Ben never quit. But it was not being born of the will of man. All he did was pray. See, he's being born of God. That's what the last phrase is. But of God. But of God. It's a God thing. You like that? It's a God thing. Yeah. That's how we explain the mystery of godliness. Or, you know, everything has to do with Him. I mean, it's just a God thing. When you think of God, what do you think of? It's kind of like the accept. That word accept. You get to the, it's the only, it's when you think of Him who created and you think of a cause and then the, you know, the effect. Well, He's the first cause. Well, yeah, but who caused that? Well, that's God. You got to take another step back because you're not satisfied with the first cause. Because something had to have caused that, right? Okay, I'll accept that. That's God. That's who He is. He was in the beginning. Well, who was before that? That's God. People, they think God's supposed to be like a something you can understand or know, and His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways above our ways. I mean, you know, that's God mystery. God coming down in flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul tells Timothy. But He has begotten you. That which is spirit, born of the Spirit, is spirit. There is something that has been given to you, a gift of this seed that doesn't sin, that is perfect, that rejoices in the presence of God, that loves the things of God. That is the Spirit. And that is the first characteristic of the new nature. As opposed to the flesh, which is the first characteristic of the old nature, because the flesh is flesh. But that which is Spirit is Spirit. To grasp that, think with me for just a minute. We're coming to a close here, but think with me now. I saw Clint Eastwood, is that his name? You know, the Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Clint had one of these, you know, B westerns, spaghetti westerns, and they showed the ugly, you know, and it's, I can't, Eli Wallach, I think was his name, but or whatever he was, whoever the guy. He had this fly land on his face, and it just crawled all around him. It crawled up on his forehead, and I thought, gross. But it didn't bother him. You see those children in these African nations, and these flies just land on them, and they land on their food, and they land on their feet, and they land on their face. It didn't bother them. They don't swat them away. But in your home, if a fly lands by your food or on you, you what do? You swat at. Why is that? Because you're a little more refined. You know that flies are germ carriers and nasty. You don't get the shotgun out. Sometimes you get the fly swatter. That's the shotgun. But most of the time, you just kind of flip it away. You know, you don't think anything of it. Okay. Now, let's get one more step removed, okay? You're in an operating room in the hospital, and there's surgery going on. And a fly is in the surgery room. I mean, by all means, we don't just let it crawl all over the patient. No, we don't just flip it away. What do? We get rid of it. See, there is an understanding of holiness that begins at one level and is more magnified and powerful at another level, and it is even more absolutely holy at another level. The Spirit is what teaches us that. It's the Spirit that understands that. It's the Spirit that allows us in those situations to remember to not have anything to do with that which is absolutely nasty. And it's begotten by God. It's not anything that we have. It's a gift that He gives. When we, through our wretchedness, come to that point when we realize that the flesh is nothing but flesh. Can't redeem us, can't save us. Who is there among us today that can take that which is unclean and make it clean? Job chapter 14. No one. None. See, by grace we're saved. It's God's work. It's what He does, and the Word begins planted, and we begin to see the holiness, the holiness, the holiness of God. We begin to see that how undesirable and wretched we were, that He yet still loved us and gave His life for us. It's only in the Spirit that we begin to understand that. The natural man, he hates that stuff. The old man is deceived by the lust of his life. It may be to teach Sunday school. It may be to sing in a big choir. It may be to act out a part in a Christmas pageant. But if it's of the flesh, it's still what? Flesh. Can't please God. Can't. God. There's no good thing in it. Except a man in any situation, under any condition, in any place, any time, be born again. Has no part. None. No part at all of the kingdom of God. So with the psalmist, not the psalmist, the hymn writer, who says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. What's the rest of that? You know the chorus, but that, how about the who threw the word? Can you look it up? Look it up and tell me what the rest of that is. While she's doing that, let me encourage you this season to take some of the things that you learned from Scripture and share those with people. Don't worry about the reaction. Don't shove it in their face. We're not throwing pies at comedians. We're just, in a loving and gracious way, we're trying to be thankful for what God has done. Because there's not a thing that we have that we can take credit for. What's the next phrase? Yeah. See, I don't understand that. Do you? I think that guy's right on. Last name's what, Nathan? Left side. Yep. It's L. Nathan. Oh, well. I'll look it up. Shame on me. Can't remember. Let me leave you with an illustration. Now, as you do this, remember, don't be the farmer. Actually, he's a city boy who went to the farm. And he's out there and he's pushing that plow. And he's trying to push that plow and he keeps pushing and it's just the hardest work in the world. And he keeps pushing and he keeps pushing. And a real farmer comes by and he says, what do you got that horse for? If he would just hook the horse up to the plow and let the horse draw the plow, all he'd have to do is just guide it. See, that's what God wants to do in your life and my life. He wants to be the one who has the power to make it happen. If you did, you'd get all the credit. He wants the credit. He's deserving of the credit. You see what I'm saying? That's the key. To know that He is deserving. So offer your lives a living sacrifice. We're going to go through these characteristics. We're going to look at the rest of them because then we're going to compare them a little bit as we go through them. I think we'll enjoy the new nature and its many manifestations and how we can become more sensitive to it and the God leading through that new nature. Let's pray. Father, do thank You as You have blessed us this morning with Your Word. The emphasis being on except a man be born again. Lord, we who are born again, who have only of all men and women the opportunity to know You, need to know that the greatest need we have is to get to know You better. It's in that relationship, Father, that You've allowed that we can cast aside the spirit of fear and we can put into practice the spirit of love and the sound mind and the power that comes from the Spirit as it teaches us the things of Christ, conforming us to His image. We thank You, Lord, as You attend to that. And every heart need this morning, we pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.